Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we are in this time and in this world, and thank you for putting us here and now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot going on around us. Oh yes, the world has everything going on it. There are natural disasters with floods and fires and even earthquakes. In the USA, we have events going on that we have never seen before. There are even waters that are turning red, red, red. There are questions of if there will be an insurrection or if there will be mass arrests around the country that divide our nation. There are signs that Jesus will return, and rivers turning red on every continent. There will be questions of will there be wars and famine and epidemic and earthquakes, and will the beast system come into effect in our lifetime or even in the next year? Yes, things are going on spiritually and physically in this world, and we want to belong to Jesus Christ every moment of every day, in this day forward. Yes, things are going on. A lot is going on. Is it all new, or is it as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:9, that there is nothing new under the sun? Nothing new. Well, today we have new things. I mean, we have cars and computers. Isn't that new? They did not exist in ancient days. Well, true enough, but there have always been things that are similar, ancient days and today. For instance, there have been wagons and horses, and now we have cars. There have been men with great minds who can remember everything, and that doesn't exist so much today, but there are still some very incredible people with minds. So is it nothing new under the sun, or is it that things have changed? It depends on how you look. They're both true. And I think of Adam in Genesis 2:19, where he named every animal. And I think of the men of the ancient days who could examine and calculate all sorts of things, from time to things around us. And an example of people in ancient days have been clay tablets that were found in Babylon, where ancient Babylon had these clay tablets that told about life. And one of them that they found was full of mathematical equations. It had math, and it showed a very advanced geometric formula. And these formulas are more accurate than some of them today that are taught in the schools and universities. So, look at that Ecclesiastes 1:9. Is there really nothing new under the sun? And how are we to examine this principle? How shall we apply it to our life? Really, what should we consider? Are we thinking of physical aspects of nothing new under the sun, or are we thinking of things of the heart, emotional things, or nothing is new under the sun? And I think of the powerful forces that are exerted on people, both in ancient times and today. In the modern days, we have people who act because of love or because of hate, people who have power and influence, want things a certain way based on their own feelings and intention, or maybe their own pride, and they want to dominate other people with their decisions. Well, this has gone on in recent days and thousands of years ago. You can see the patterns. You can see what was written about Rome. You can, or Babylon, or any of the ancient cities and cultures. Now, even in the Bible, there are examples about love. And, well, think of Bathsheba and King David. Or look at, into Roman history, where there was Caligula, who married his horse. Or you can look at the kings and queens of Europe, where they desired this and that, or certain people, and they forced things to happen. So there's similar perversions going on today. You can see it in the news. You can see how there are cult kind of people going on, where they bring young people into a system of sexual abuse. And so we are trying to figure out how we can eliminate this kind of perversion from our society. And yet we know it goes on, but we don't want it to go on. But it always has gone on. As I said, the ancient records reveal it. Even the Bible says it. The Bible in Leviticus talks about the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, who, well, what they did was they offered unholy fire to the Lord, but there are also scriptures that talk about how they were unholy with women in the church. So it's written in scripture. And we can see that Scripture calls upon each of us to be holy and to be born again. And John 3 tells us we have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. But many people have their own ideas and they tell lies. And it's something that we all have to seek the Word of God to understand, just like 1 Peter 1:16 says, be ye holy, and of course there's be born again for John 3:3. So we have a way to seek and to search and figure out how we can be obedient to God and do what he tells us on earth. Now, it's not that this will save us to be following his laws, but we are saved by grace, and yet as a matter of thanks and love, we follow what God wants from us. That's a pattern that goes on. And certainly, by grace, we are saved and will get us into that heavenly place. And I know we do have Bibles and people who teach Bible. I know I've listened to a lot of Bible people, been in Bible studies, some who very strongly favor grace as what it takes to get into heaven. And of course, they see it that way, and what they cite tells you it's true. There are other people who tell you it's law that gets you to heaven. And there's a little bit of truth to both, but it's something for you to examine and search out. The Bible tells you, and the Bible will speak to your heart and mind as you certainly pray. I like to pray before and after I read and ask God to give me what he wants me to have. So we can all agree that we want to be loved and we want God to love us. And yet there are works around us both to do and to receive the good works. It's a part of what goes on in Bible, and we can read about it. We can see examples of it as we are full of the Spirit of God and obedient to God. Born again in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please the Lord, and remember that we have one lifetime to figure this out. Everybody has the same amount of time. It's just that a lifetime is long for some and short for others. And I know that grace is an essential part of it. And so somehow, here we go. We're doing what we understand, and the Bible helps us to understand even better. Well, we think of how we show our love to God and to other people. John 14:21 talks about those who love me, who is Jesus, those who love Jesus keep his commandments. And I think of Matthew 7:14, where there are the gates, the narrow gate that leads to that heavenly kingdom, and there is the wide gate, which is the highway to hell. So we have a whole lifetime to figure out how we are going to live. Are we going to study what God wants from us and know how to please him based on what our understanding is that we get from the Bible? Or are we going to live the life we want to live? And somehow, we are also told to warn other people. That's Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33 tells us that, so that the blood of the evildoer is not upon our own head, upon our own soul. We are to warn people to follow the goodness of God. Ezekiel 3:19. So, how are we going to follow God? Well, there's a part there that says, know the whole word of God. Acts 20:27, which is about knowing the whole counsel of God. And we want to be faithful. We want to understand the nature of God and what he would like us to do. Why? So that we can do it. And that's a matter of love. We love God, so we want to keep his commandments and the way that he looks at what we are to do. After all, we know that life is only short. So it is short, and we all have one life, however long or short it is, and then the judgment. And I know we want to go to heaven and not hell, so we try to understand how we can spend eternity with a God who loves us, Jesus Christ, in that heavenly place. And to know God, it helps to read his word. The Bible, yes, it's a big book, but we are all going to start someplace and learn how we can do what God likes us to do, how we can be an obedient person or a obedient, whatever we're doing, if we're a business person or an artist or a teacher or something. We want to be following what God has for us to do. And there's plenty of people who will tell you that they read the Word. They know what the Word says, and they will tell you how to follow God. Some of them are priests, and some of them are pastors, and some of them are people on the street that you simply meet. And they may very well be telling you the real truth. But if you want the real truth, I think it's the best place to go is the person who speak it. God spoke it in his word, the Bible. So read the Bible and get your understanding right from the word of God and not somebody who tells you what God said or what God meant when he said this or that. Oh, look for yourself. There are pastors they have another point of view, and every one of us has to be careful to know the word of God and understand what God wants. Yes, I think of John 15, where it talks about showing our love of God by obeying him. And that is a part of what we do. We have a lifetime to learn it. And so we have a choice. Do we listen to people who tell us what God said, or do we want to listen to what God said in his word, the Bible? Who do we want to get the information from, a person or from God? Well, we all have a choice. Are you reading scripture? Are you learning what the nature of God is and what he tells us? After all, we want him to tell us one day, well done, good and faithful servant. And about that, we have that Matthew 7:14 to remind us that we want to go to that heavenly place through the narrow gate and not find the wide gate that leads to hell. Well, there are parables to help us understand. There's the parable of the 10 virgins, where 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 who were wise were prepared. They were prepared for what goes on in life. They were prepared for the darkness. They were prepared with a little oil for their lamp and probably food for them to eat. I know it doesn't say exactly, but we do have an understanding of what other Bible passages tell us, so we can learn from the whole Word of God and get an understanding of how we are to be prepared. Will it be physically? Will it be spiritually? Will it be according to what the Bible says? That's for each one of us to examine and know how to do that as we look and read and pray. There is much understanding that we can get when we study Scripture. And we like to have knowledge instead of surprises. And we have a lifetime to gain that knowledge. The Bible tells us a lot of serious things, a lot of things that will help us in our life. And that is why we should understand what many people experience in life. Experience. Oh, that just reminded me of people who I know who have passed into the next life. Sometimes the people are full of fear. Oh, you can see it in their eyes and their face. They're full of fear. And sometimes you see a person who belongs to Jesus, and they are completely fine with passing into the next life. Well, we all have a choice. We have a lifetime to decide, and we don't know how long that lifetime is. But we're pretty sure that the lifetime is shorter than we expect, and we don't know when. There we go, Matthew chapter 25, the 10 virgins. We don't know when the bridegroom will knock on our door and say, "He has come." And 5 of the 10 virgins went to the wedding feast. And 5 of those virgins who were dedicated in the temple of God, or of a God at least, did not know the Holy God. And the bridegroom said to those 5 virgins that he never knew them. So that's a matter for us to use as an example. We want to know God, Jesus. We want Jesus to know us. And we know that it helps to pray and to read Scripture and to talk with other people who are in the family of Christ and understand what we can do so that we can go to that heavenly place and not that eternal lake of fire. So, there's all sorts of smart people who can tell you all sorts of things, and I'm sure some of them are right, but some of them are not right, and we want to get the information from the best source that we can. And that source is when God speaks to us. He speaks to us in the Bible. We should know what the Bible says and apply it to our life as we make our decisions to follow Jesus into that heavenly place in the next life. And we have a choice. We have a choice. Are we going to follow Jesus to that heavenly place, or are we going to end up in that lake of fire? We have a choice, and eventually life is over, and life goes by quicker than we know. That's what the people who have reached old age tell me. It goes quicker than you think. So, make use of the time that we have. know God through His Word, the Bible, and follow God with obedience. There's a lot going on in the world today. We have people who are disobedient to God's Word. We have people who are unbalanced. We have people who are even evil, and they want people to follow them too. And they will make you promises and say, you do this, and there will be riches and wonderful things coming your way. Well, sometimes it's just plain a lie. Or sometimes it is according to what they think they can give you. Oh, let's look at pharmakia, which is drugs. Do drugs help you or do they hurt you? Oh, they will tell you it's a wonderful experience. Well, maybe it is. But it is also considered to be death when you get addicted to drugs or alcohol or many other addictions. You can hear the testimony of people who have a terrible life after they have become addicted. And all sorts of people will tell you, well, they're lies. They are just plain lies. And then we get distracted by the things that are going on around us. They know how to tell us what we would like to see. It's a kind of a natural human trait to understand what people would like. And then you talk to them about what they would like and get them to follow you or to do something or take a drug or whatever it is. This is just a pattern of life. And we will want to pray for the young people and help them to understand the dangers of this world. There are patterns that have gone on since ancient times, and they still go on today. There are people who talk about wealth and privilege, and yeah, they do get it. I've known those people who want you to follow them. Oh, it's tough. It's a bad situation when you follow somebody down that pathway, and they tell you about the good things and the promises. And, oh, yeah, there are a few good things, but what is your price? Are you going to trade your soul and go to hell just to follow a few good things? Well, I say follow Jesus today and every day for the rest of your life. Honor life, your life, their life. Tell them about Jesus. Save the life of the unborn. You know, there are things that have gone on in ancient days when child sacrifice went on and the babies were burned on the hot arms of a statue. And even today, babies are burned alive in their mother's wombs when chemicals are injected into the womb of the mother, and the baby burns from chemicals. Oh, it's bad, and it goes on in this world today. And so in a way, some things never change, some things stay the same, and there are wonderful things and terrible things. And we want to be on the side of God who loves life and who loves you. But He still has a set of rules for all of us to follow. And it is good for us to know the rules. And we know the rules when we study the whole Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. And we want to teach the good news, talk about the good news to people in the world. And that's what we want to do all the time. The time gets shorter and shorter as the end of time approaches. And there's a lot of people who talk about these being the end days, and they are, but it still has a great big question as to how much time we have left. Now, we see the signs going on around us. We know that the days could be short, the years could be short, and we know that it could be longer than we think. Things are changing. Do things remain the same or do they not? Both are true. Things stay the same and things change. Now, today you can say we have all sorts of new developments, and that is true. I'm just thinking of the robots, I'm thinking of cyborgs, where there is a creature that is steel and robotic, but there are also human aspects to it. It might be covered with humanized skin. It's something which is going on now in these very days. We see, you've probably seen it. I've seen robots advertised as a companion, and that they can talk to you. It's true. They can talk to you. You can talk to them. There gets to be dialogue, but they certainly are not human. They gather more and more information about who you are. It goes into the big mainframe computers about the characteristics of you and how they can win you over to their way of, well, it is domination. It is domination over humanity. It's domination over the systems of the world, which includes government. It includes military. And somehow, it is going on today, and we are all being cataloged and examined and put into a system. It's going on, and even the systems are changing. We are getting into cyber money. We are crypto money, and there are monies that are watched over so that we are going to be characterized by our spending and our desires, and that has been going on for some years now. There is, I just mentioned it, the transhumanism going on. There's the cyborg going on. There's a matter of human flesh merging with robotics. It reminds me of how it is talked about being joined to Jesus Christ, one body. And this is a system where they are talking about exploiting the ideas and talking about how a human being can be tied to another system, to another body. And the goal that is talked about is to live forever, just like Genesis. Well, we have systems going on. Are we the same? Is it lie the same to convince us to leave Jesus and cling to the shiny things of this world? The lights keep flashing. Things keep happening in the world. And we want to know, are we taking fatal steps towards technology that will force us to follow the beast system? Or are we going to stay outside of the beast system as we rely on God and Jesus to save us? I think that's what happened in the early days of the church after Jesus died. His apostles still went through the earth and talked to people. And the documentation is there, but it is not what we would consider perfectly documented. So we get to understand what went on, and from what I can tell, those early apostles were kept alive by the Holy Spirit of God as food was discovered and delivered. And that is something we look at Scripture to try to understand and see a model for how our life can be lived as we desire to please God, as we understand how our mind and our emotion can belong to Jesus as we go through life. There is a direction going on, and we want to line up with belonging to Jesus. Even in these perilous times. Perilous times are described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where you have people who love themselves and not God. It's something that is going on, and we get to understand it and see what is going on. And we want to reach people, all people, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is getting harder to talk to people about Jesus because they are so full of the shiny things that get their attention in this world. The shiny lights, the computers, the things that tell you you can be everything you want to be. It's a matter of what is going on in the world. Just like of Revelation 18, there is a passage. Oh, it is used to say that there is sorcery going on, and pharmakia, which is drugs, is the root of distracting people. So, there again, what does the scripture say? Is it perfectly spoken? Well, we get it from Revelation chapter 18, but other passages as well that talk about pharmakia. And we sure get the general idea that we want to not have drugs in our body. It's a matter of trying to figure it out and be obedient. That's what I see. So study the whole Word of God. There are different translations that put it in different ways, and maybe we read different translations, and maybe we pray to God to ask Him to show us, and we read the people who have studied the Word of God, and they have their own writings about what the Bible talks about. Well, we want to understand the direction of where God is directing us. It's written about in the Bible as we seek to understand the most valid parts of what we understand. Now, some parts, you know that there are people who say the Bible is dangerous. Why? Because it changes your life when you read it. And I certainly know it changed mine. It can change yours too. So look at what we all have in common and try to understand how we can love one another. Love God and love your neighbor. Matthew 22:27. So we have examples of instances that are talked about in the Bible, from birth pangs to life to death. And they're all written about in the Bible so that we can understand how to apply God's truth to our life, especially in these end days when we are getting closer and closer to the end of time when Jesus returns. And we can see that the times are getting closer and closer. What are we going to do? As the birth pangs approach, birth pangs are interesting. Now, when we have experienced other people that are going through birth, or maybe a woman who has gone through birth, you know very well how birth pangs present themselves. And all we can see is, oh, it's getting closer and closer. Oh, the birth will be here soon. Push a little harder. Do something a little more. Get a little rest before you have to push some more. It's all a part of how we expect something to happen, and it takes a long time for it to happen. Now, I know with the births that I've seen, they can take 2 hours, they can take 24 hours, more or less. It's always different, but we still have that expectation of a birth happening. And just like the birth pangs of the return of Jesus Christ, we see them, we see the signs, and wonder, when will it really happen? We can understand that the signs show that it will happen soon. And yet we don't know if it is still longer away than we think. The descriptions are given. the information is discussed, and somehow we have to try to understand where we are in God's timeline, not in the human timeline that we all refer to, because we're all human. We understand things the way we do. It's what humans do. We understand things according to what our human nature is. And yet God tells us about what is coming. I always think of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who tell us about what is coming. Wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. And they are coming. Look at the world around us. And life goes by, and we want to say, yes, Lord, as things are going by in front of us. Trust God and understand what is going on around us so that we can protect ourselves. Sometimes we will want to have food and supplies and be a part of a community. Show love to our neighbors, and love God and love your neighbors. So think of what's going on and how you can share the gospel with people. Sometime we might want to share our knowledge and our skills about what's going on, because it could come down to preparing. That's something we always want to do. Not knowing what really is going to happen, we want to be prepared to know God, follow God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then seek God as we go through life. I think of Hebrews 11:6 that talks about God rewards those who diligently seek Him. So let's have the rewards of God. Yes, in that heavenly place, and yes, on earth. We have examples in life where I think of the fall of Babylon, for instance, and that's described in Revelation chapter 18, where Babylon is fallen. And somehow those are things that go on also. Do we know when? Not really, but we know that it's going to happen. And so we want to be prepared for whatever is going to happen. It's something we can get understanding from the Bible and know how to live as we go through life and seek the kingdom of God and not hellfire. So understanding is what we want, and then to demonstrate that we love God and we love our neighbor. That's just in the Bible. So how are we going to prepare for the things in life? Well, there are things we can do to prepare. I mean, if you know a famine's coming, you're going to have some food. And if you know that there's going to be a hard time coming, you are going to want to have some medical supplies or some other supplies. You might want to have a few things for your car, like a few spare filters. Or is your car going to even work? What if there is an EMP? Maybe you're going to need a wagon to carry your water to your home. I mean, there are questions which we do not have the whole answers to, but we know some of the things. And for some of the things, we can get a little prepared for those few things. There are some things that are easy, like some people will want to have a bicycle for transportation. Then you also have the inner tubes for it and a way to pump up the tires. Yes. If you are requiring a certain medical device, you might want to have a solar generator or even a gas generator. There are things that we will make sense of to have as we have conflict in this world. Well, you know there's conflict. You can see that there's political conflict going on with the past administration, with this administration, with the Director of National Intelligence. There are people in the FBI and the CIA who have told us things that are going to be disrupted and things that might be going on that are even illegal. We have things that we can only guess what is coming, and so we want to be prepared. As people at the upper level of government have shown themselves to be liars and cheats, And so when we know the world is going to be trouble and bad, we might want to have a few extra supplies so that we can get through the storm that is coming. No doubt things are going to be difficult at some point. Do we know the point? No. But we know from, let me talk about prophetic people for just a minute. And it's not that we have to believe them, but when there is evidence of so many people talking about what is coming, there again, some of them have been from 30 years ago or more, some of them from 3 years ago or less, but we can see that there is a direction among people. Oh, go back to George Washington and his angel visit at Valley Forge. Now, some people say it couldn't have happened. Some people say it did. And you have David Wilkerson, who was in the 1980s and 90s. There again, people will either say it happened or it didn't. Dimitri Dudeman, Henry Groover, Howard Pittman, Chuck Youngbrandt, and Daniel Rhodes, they all have a testimony. And lately there was Dana Coverstone. That was from a couple of years ago. There again, what are we going to believe? Who are we going to get an idea of what is going on? And you know what the basics are if trouble is coming. Water, food, and warmth. Community. Have Bibles. Have hymnals. Have people that help one another. You might want to have solar panels and batteries to store the power, an inverter to run a few things. I think a washing machine is a good idea. And if you have drills, you might want to be able to recharge your drills. Your cell phone, we can be pretty sure, is not going to work. Water systems may or may not work. We may have to boil our water to disinfect it or have the light to disinfect it. It's not that it purifies it, but it makes it so the bugs cannot reproduce. And so there are different ways to clean your water and to make it drinkable. It's ultraviolet, that's what it's called. There's an ultraviolet filter called the SteriPen, which is a glass at a time, and there are just different ways to do everything. Or what are you going to have on hand so that in case there is a real difficult time ahead? Are you going to have a generator? Are you going to have a solar inverter? Are you going to have batteries? If the electricity goes out, we're not going to be getting things from the store. The cash registers won't work. And we won't be having our car working because the gas stations won't have pumps to pump the gas. It's something which we could have a huge thing about what are we going to do. Have a little medical right on hand. Now, I say the simple things. The simple things to me are gauze pads, medical tape, triple antibiotic ointment. Oh, and if you want to get to the advanced first aid, there are people who are going to be injured. Well, you need a tourniquet? Yes, get a tourniquet that is usable by one hand. If you're concerned about violence, then get a vented chest seal. Get quick cloth, quick cloth gauze. Get different bandages to soak up liquids. Get some nitrile gloves, medical kind. Get lots of one-inch cloth medical tape. Get EMT shears. Get a little water to have on hand if you need to wash something out. Magnifying glasses are good, too. And they're a little pouch to carry it in. A flashlight, definitely a flashlight. Paper and pencil so you can write it down. I know, paper and pen works, but paper and pencils write in the rain, especially if you get the waterproof paper. So, what else? A small roll of paper towels is good. And I think needle-nose tweezers are very good, too. I remember having to get the legs of a tick out of a bite, and so you need those why those really narrow nose tweezers to get things that are in your skin. So that they're just some of the things that you might want to have on hand, and everybody has their own idea of what you want to have. I think one of the ways to look at this is, what would you do if you were going on a trip for a weekend? What would you want to carry with you? Would you want to carry scissors? Or you might be cutting hair. You might be needing soap to wash. You might be needing, antiperspirant. But you might be needing to keep warm, too. It's all these things that I think about, and how do we determine what we're going to have? Huh, food and water! Yes, have water. And even if you're carrying it in your backpack, have a little water that you can have something to drink and to help swallow the food that you have right on hand, too. Everything is different, and when you only have a little bit, it changes everything about how you view food, how you view water, and that's something that you're going to have to consider if we do have the electricity go out for a long time. I know there's federal government or emergency people who say, have 3 days of food and water. Well, yeah, 3 days is good. I talked to first responders who have responded to emergencies around the country, and they say, oh no, everybody needs 3 weeks of food and water. Well, think about what that means. That is a dedicated person that can do that. You might need to get 5 gallon containers to hold your water. You might not be doing wash. You might not be doing showering. You might only have water for your own drinking needs and for cooking. And what kind of cooking are you going to do? If the electricity goes out, you're going to need a camp stove, something that works. Wood will disappear. And if it's the middle of winter, it's pretty hard to burn wet wood. So these are the things that you have to ask yourself about and try to understand, what would I do if there was a real emergency going on? And how can you have a few people that can help one another with whatever they have on hand? See, that's a very important part of preparedness, is having a group of people or a few other people with common interests. Now, maybe that common interest is a family. Maybe it's a church. Maybe it's a club that collects things. It is always different. And you also have the companionship going on. If you have a Christian fellowship, that's good. If you have Bible reading and discussion, that's good. If you want to talk about sewing, that's good too. Or keeping your car working with an EMP that has happened, that's good too. Everybody has their own interest, and maybe it's from work, maybe it's from a hobby, and maybe it's from just being neighbors. Somehow, we will want to connect with people. And if we ever do have an electrical outage, which has been warned about for a long time, it's even talked about as a way of war for one country to take out the electricity of another country. So it's all possible. And that is something that we have to consider. What if the electricity went out? What would we do? Well, we have just enough electricity to run our phone, and our phone won't work either, or to run a washing machine because our clothes are getting pretty old. Well, all sorts of questions. And do I know what to say? Not really. All I know is they're all possibilities, and we should examine them. Just like, what if our money fails? Oh, money fail has been going on since the days of ancient Egypt. And ever since, I mean, you look at 100 years ago, the countries that have printed their paper currency, most of it, if you took it to the bank would say, this is not money. We cannot handle it. Even if it says United States notes, Federal Reserve notes, the banks will not accept it because they've never seen it before. And that's the problem with what goes on with money. And that's why there's some people who say you need gold and silver. Silver coins that cost 30-something dollars each. And a gold coin, what's that? $3,500 for a one-ounce gold coin. So it's all a matter of what are you going to have that you can help other people with. I don't know what it'll be, and when we see the days come, we're not going to have a good opportunity to get anything, either groceries or gasoline or anything that we can help other people with. So get a little bit now and put it aside for the just in case. There are going to be Christian groups where we can hold Jesus Christ in our hearts and talk about Bible and Scripture so that we can have it in our mind and our heart in case hard times come along. And that is something we're just going to want to do all the time, because we never know when a hard time will come. Will it be physical? Will it be because we're interred, because we don't believe in the things that the government says to believe in? Or will another government take over our country? Now, don't say it can't happen, because even though we have a strong military, what would they do if there was an EMP attack and their vehicle stopped working? Or there are many scenarios that would take the military out of the so-called fight. And I know we have a wonderful, awesome military with people who love Americans, but it doesn't mean that they're going to win. Just like all the great civilizations in the past, from Babylon to Greece to Rome, they all fell, and America could fall also. If that earthquake splits America and you see the earthquakes going on, it could happen. And not that I know it will, but if you want to look at the prophetic people who say it will happen, it's going to be a real concern, and it could happen. So just look at it knowing that it could happen and get a little prepared. Hopefully you have people around you that also are preparing for the just in case. And now is the time to do it, because if there ever is an incident, that all the extra things will not be available. And if we're looking at a nuclear event, you want to have a jar of potassium iodide pills available. If you have children, you want the smaller size potassium iodide pills. If you're just dealing with adults, for a couple of weeks, you're going to want those potassium iodide pills. And I remember when Fukushima happened, I thought, oh, I should get some potassium iodide pills. I was in the Bay Area. Nothing was available. And any food or supplement that had iodine was also unavailable. I went to the store about 2 hours after the Fukushima incident. Everything was gone. So you know that that would happen again if there was a serious event. Get prepared. Get prepared with everything. Your neighborhood. Get prepared with Christian things. Go to your local Christian store. The one here is called One. It's on East and Cohasset. They have Christian everything. Not everything, but apparel and Bibles and gifts. And so, East and Cohasset, have a look at the Christian people so that you can have Christian fellowship if we ever have a hard time coming. Oh, their phone number, 530-965-5939, One Christian Store. Well, we want to have fellowship, and sometimes it starts at church, sometimes it starts with Bible study people, and sometimes it happens with our family, friends, and neighbors. But somehow, if hard times come, just like it did for our founding fathers, we are going to want to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Our founding fathers they were not all Christian, but the ones that were really were. And just like today, we're going to have people who really are serious Christians who care about others. And we're going to have the gospel of Jesus Christ spoken and preached. So, and if you want my preparedness page, I have a preparedness page that I have for free. It's for anybody who wants it. And maybe you could send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to give that back to you. Everything we have ideas about, we can work into our materials, our storage, let's call it. Do we know what it'll be? Will it be grains? Yes. Will it be protein? Yes. Will it be a grain grinder, manual grain grinder? Yes. Will it be a recharger for our cell phone and our drills and our washing machines? All these things are good. And somehow we want to have an idea of what we will need. So you can gather preparedness lists from many agencies, government agencies, private corporations, and health clinics. There are many lists that you can look over, including mine. Just get some and start thinking about it so you can have an understanding where you're going to put your supplies and how much they will be. Put yourself on a budget so that you can spend so much on preparedness every month. Now, there's a different answer for different people because they have different ideas, different budgets, different understandings of what they will need. Will they need the medical kit? Will they need food? Will they need clothing and warmth? It's all going to be different, and somehow you get to decide where you will put your assets, your money, into buying what. So anyway, write me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Of course, donations are always welcome, and so are your comments. But we want to remember to pray for the many people that we know. Pray for the missionaries around the country and around the world, and just pray for other people. Meanwhile, God bless you. Thank you for today.